We bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Always good to get together, and we say it often, but we say it sincerely. So appreciate your attendance very, very much. I know we have company with us today, and appreciate that also. I'm looking at my preacher clock says it's 6 after, and your clock says it's 8 after. Or not. I'll go by yours. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. Titled, The Lesson, Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian. Anybody ever ask you that? Why are you a Christian? And if they did, what reasons would you give for being a Christian? Oh yeah, this is why I'm on God's side. Or this is why I chose to do what I do. Or they may look at you and say, you attend worship how often? Or you have so how much Bible study are you involved in? Oh, really? And you've got Christianity. You're a Christian. The title of the lesson might also be, as you see in the top of your notes on the introduction, that expression, membership has its privileges. You ever hear that? Membership has its privileges. Oh, well, I'm a member of the church, the New Testament church. I'm a member of Christianity, the family of God. Ooh, membership has its privileges. Membership, by definition, put in your notes, you belong to a designated organization or group or fraternity or something, a fellowship. You have membership in something. Well, I have membership in the New Testament church. I have membership in Christ. Privilege. Membership has its privileges. Means I'm guaranteed a right or an advantage or a favor that's granted to me, and a key phrase is it's withheld from another. I have membership. There's certain things that I'm blessed with that's withheld from another. Now, I know God sends rain on the just and the unjust. But there's certain things that He's blessed His family with. Membership has its privileges. By illustration, you might recognize this. You know, because I'm a citizen of the USA, I'm granted certain privileges that others do not enjoy that are not citizens of the USA. I'm granted some freedoms or rights. Another illustration might be because I'm employed at ABC Company, I receive benefits that others do not enjoy. Well, I'd like to have the benefits you have. Oh, but you don't work for the company. Oh, see, membership has its privileges. You know, because I'm a card-carrying member of a certain group, I get benefits that others do not enjoy. I have a Costco card. Oh, you're not a Costco member?
Yes.
AAA card? You know, when I walk into the AAA office down by the house, the first thing they ask for is my card. Are you a member? They want to see my membership. Otherwise, I cannot enjoy the benefits, the blessings of what AAA is offering. I have a driver's license. Gives me certain privileges or benefits. Stay off the highway. Stay off the sidewalk if you don't like the way I drive. I have an ARP card. Just because of my age, I receive benefits. I don't always have to show my card either. Sometimes I walk in and they just offer me a senior discount. See, membership has its privileges. Now, you understand that illustration. Christianity has benefits or privileges that others do not enjoy. Being a member of the New Testament church or being in Christ Jesus offers me blessings from above. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and Paul is writing to the church, those in the church, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where are the spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, located? In Christ. If you do not enjoy that membership, you do not enjoy those spiritual blessings. So because I'm a Christian, here are some partial lists that I've given you in your notes of spiritual blessings in which I participate. Number one, I have all my sins forgiven. All of them. There are not any sins that I've committed that are too horrible, but what God can forgive. There are not any sins that I've committed too many times or for too long a time that God does not forgive. Because I'm in Christ Jesus, I enjoy a membership that has forgiven me of all of my sins, all of them. And I need that benefit. No, don't amen. But yes, yeah, you can't amen it. I won't take it personally. Because I've made mistakes, and you. Because I've fallen short too many times. I needed the assurance from my Maker that I've been forgiven. In Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory.
That's right.
In our text that was read to us this morning, when Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is standing up with the 11, and he's preaching on this Jewish holiday, and there's devout Jews, religious people from every nation gathered together on this Pentecost day, 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after Passover, and Jesus was on earth 40 of those days after the Passover, after his resurrection. And then on this 50th day, these devout Jews are gathered, and Jesus has ascended on the 40th day. So 10 days later, they're gathered together on this day, and devout Jews, religious people. He thinks, well, they're okay. But Peter stands up with the 11, and in the introduction verse that Frederick read to us, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Well, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Oh, guilty as charged. We've murdered the Messiah. We've crucified the Christ. And so they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, Peter didn't say to them, oh, you can't do anything. Peter didn't say, oh, since you're cut to the heart, you're okay. He didn't say, what are you trying to do by you saying, what can we do? Are you trying to earn your salvation? Didn't say that. Direct answer to the question, what shall we do? They've heard the good news. They've heard a good news message. They cried out, what should my response be? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He didn't say, half of you do this and the other half do something different. Repent and be baptized. Two other things. Wait a minute, they heard. They're cut to the heart. Isn't that enough? No, I want you to repent and be baptized. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of God's Spirit. For to you is the promise. And to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then with many other words, he testified and exhorted to them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked, untoward generation. They weren't saved yet. They heard. They're cut to the heart. All guilty as child. I feel it. But he said, now I want you also to repent and be baptized. And then he tries to persuade them, encourage them. With many other words, save yourselves. You're not saved yet just from hearing that formula or that message. Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Verse 41. Then as many as gladly received his word were baptized. All. About 3,000 were added unto them. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Those who had heard, were cut to the heart, repented, and were baptized. That's the text. That's what we preach. If you should ask me, Brian, what must I do to have my sins forgiven? To say, well, you need to hear a good news message that God loves the world. John 3:16. You need to believe it. Because that's what Jesus himself said in John chapter 11, verse 12, or John 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. I won't die in my sins. You need to hear what Jesus also said in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Repent or perish, or you must be born again. But he said in Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, repent or you'll perish. I don't want to perish, so I need to repent too. See, I can't just hear and be saved. I can't just be cut to the heart and be saved. I can't just repent and be saved. I need to follow that progression. I need to repent and be baptized for the remission of my sins. That's the message. So, because, and when I do that, then I'm added to the New Testament church membership. Membership has its privileges. For the remission, the forgiveness of my sins. I need to do that. The second one in this, now, skip a couple things here. Keep going on this one. And because I'm a Christian, Jesus' blood continually cleanses me of my sin. So once I enjoy that membership and all my sins are forgiven, now in 1 John chapter 1, I need to walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, continually cleanses me of my sin. As long as I'm walking correctly, walking by His direction, there's that constant flow of forgiveness. And as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, well, shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? The next phrase, God forbid. So no, as long as I'm striving to do what God says and doing it His way, I'm constantly being cleansed. Membership has its privileges. Number two, the next phrase of that verse in Acts 2, verse 38. We said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ by heavenly authority, for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. For to you is the promise. Oh, the promise. So the promise is, not only do I have forgiveness of sins, I've received God's Spirit. I needed that. In Acts 5, verse 32, it says, Peter and John said, we're witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. When I do what God requires, enjoy membership, sins are forgiven, He's blessed me with His Spirit, given that to me, the gift of God's Spirit. And that, you know, in Romans 8, verse 9, He says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God gave that to you and to me when we became Christians, when we were baptized, when we obey from the heart. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So membership has its privileges. Blessings, favors, if you will. Number three, I have fellowship with the family of God. God's people. See, we're of like precious faith. If you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, all of us are in God's family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. We're on the same highway to heaven. So we want to, when we assemble together, we want to encourage one another in our faith. It's interesting how sometimes when you go someplace new, and it might be in your job or a seminar or something else, you just meet somebody, and if there's a connection, you just ask somebody, oh, tell me about, you know, where you work, where are you from? And they say, oh, I'm from Texas. I'm from Texas. All of a sudden, there's an immediate bond. You know, same way, if I'm walking out, oh, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian too. We're family. There's an immediate connection. When we travel across our nation and we stop on Lord's Day morning to worship with others, you know, in the churches of Christ, the like precious faith, you walk in. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Where do you worship? I worship with the Church of Christ in Imperial Beach. Oh. We send greetings to them from us. We're family. Everywhere you go. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family is named. We're the household of faith. We're family. Number four. If you have time, turn to the hymn number 744 and read the words of the songs of the psalm. You get the lesson. But number four, I had a member here that always already told his guests, I let you out at 11:30. Number four, I have a Father whom I may pray. Now, before I get to the verses, this is an interesting observation. I hope you gained this. The whole world can call upon God as God. My God in heaven. My God. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Anybody can call upon God as God. But wait a minute, I have membership in His family. Not only are my sins forgiven and He's given me His Spirit, He's put me in the family, so therefore I can call upon Him as Father. So I don't just say, God, dear God in heaven. I say, my God and Father in heaven. If you think about the joys and the benefits you have in your family. Because you're in that family, if everything is right and okay, you can, as children, you can go to your father and ask for certain things that my boys can't go and ask for. I'd like for my boys to go and ask your father for blessings. You know, how about paid college education? Your father is not going to give that. How about, would you co-sign a car? No, you're going to say, go to your own father. Why are you coming to me? I'm not your dad, your father. So there's certain blessings in membership. It has its privileges. You know, my boys come to me, or you know, mom and dad. My boy, they come to me. I'm trying to encourage them to go to Don. Or to Dennis. No, but they're going to say, why are you coming to me? I say, my Father in heaven. That was the opening verse. We have access to all spiritual blessings in Christ. So there's certain things I can ask for and receive because I'm a child. Child of the Father. In Galatians 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. That's right. The father leaves his children in inheritance. I'm not expecting an inheritance from Don. Right? True? Is that true? He's not my father. You understand that? Membership has its privileges. That excludes others by definition. And the last one I just put was eternal life. In 1 John 5, verse 11, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. God has given eternal life, but the life is in His Son. You need to be in the Son, meaning Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 27, He says you're all sons of God through faith, for as many as were baptized into Christ. Into Christ. You can have faith in Christ, but you need to be baptized into Christ. A lot of people say, I have faith in Christ. Yeah, but you're not in Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. So that's the lesson. If you want membership in the New Testament church, the body of Christ, becoming a child of God, you'll need to do those things that we mentioned in point number one, where they cried out, what shall we do? I'm guilty as charged. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, heavenly command, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit and salvation. It's in the text. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. If that's your situation, a member of the New Testament church, then we can just simply respond, and at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you what's on your mind. You say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. I want to become a member of the New Testament church. And we can accomplish that. Or, Brian, I want the brethren to pray with me or for me. We can accomplish that too. Anytime. But why not right now?